The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
While the beef protests remain front and centre of the news agenda this morning, both sides are resuming talks at the Department of Agriculture in the hope of resolving the dispute. Meanwhile, some farmers say they're happy to remain on the picket line until Christmas as the dispute begins to impact on the shelves. We're joined by Dermot O'Brien from the Beef Plan Movement and Dr. Edgar Morgan-Roth from Dublin City University's Business School to talk about some of the pros and cons around this dispute. Edgar, first to you. I won't ask you if you necessarily have sympathy for the farmers, but on the key issue of price, do you think they are getting a fair price?
Well, fairness is one of those things that is very difficult to define. It's certain that the price that they're currently receiving isn't enough to make a living with. So farmers are making a loss. And in fact, if you look at the statistics from Tagask on the farm survey, the only income that farmers actually have is from the subsidy. So that's something that I think is undisputed. The price is not high enough to make a living out of it.
You need to judge it, I suppose, as well, the question of fairness vis-a-vis what the market can support and what farmers get elsewhere. Have you looked at figures elsewhere?
That is the real problem really here in this dispute. 90% of Irish beef is exported. So even if one could achieve a raise in the price in Ireland in supermarkets, that wouldn't be enough to raise the price sufficiently to make it profitable. And if you look around the main markets, and the main markets are the UK, France, Germany, Italy, Netherlands, the prices there that farmers receive are, for example, in the UK, are basically the same as here. The farmers in Germany basically get the same prices here as well.
Okay.
So then you're competing with those farmers and the beef that is produced in those countries, and it's very difficult to raise that price.
Dermot O'Brien, what about that point, that you're not necessarily getting less than farmers are getting for their product in other parts of Europe?
Yeah, well, I would have to concur there with my colleague here. Look, a lot, farmers are in receipt of supports, and that does make up quite an amount of their income. But, you know, farmers in this country are in receipt of a very, very low premium for their livestock when they put them into the factories for processing. So, okay, the price at the retailers and the price that the consumer pays to the butchers for their meat, that hasn't changed. It hasn't altered. In actual fact, over the past 12 months, it has increased by 0.5%, whereas the price the farmer is in receipt of has decreased by 7%. That's in Ireland now, just referring to Ireland at the minute.
So, but broadly, it's the same farmers are getting in France and Germany,
isn't it?
No,
not necessarily, no. Like, in France, you have 600 producer organisations, okay? So the farmer in France is very much in control of their destiny with regard to what they're going to receive price-wise. So, for example, cow beef in France, if you're part of a producer organisation, you can earn up to €6 a kilo on contract with your butcher, whereas in Ireland, we don't have that facility. But I would be very optimistic going forward, because the Beef Plan Movement recently achieved something that is historic, really, and we're very proud of it. The first producer organisation has been established recently. It has been awarded by Minister Creed and his staff, and you know, this is the way forward now. So farmers will be able to discuss price.
Edgar, what do you make of that development? Is that a way forward?
That is certainly a way forward, and it's not actually new even in Ireland. A very long time ago, I was involved in farming, and I was a member of a producer group that was supplying lamb to Irish factories. And the big problem that the individual farmer has is he's got no power, no market power. If he withholds his cattle from the factories, the factories will get cattle somewhere else. So by clubbing together, yes, you can achieve something of a premium, but you still face the fact that the market price in the UK, for example, is driven largely by UK farmers' prices, and they're broadly the same as here.
So do you think beef farming is viable or isn't viable here?
I think beef farming has a real viability problem, and indeed we see that already. A lot of the beef farmers are part-time, and I would imagine that's going to increase, and it's simply a fact that you can't make a living out of it as it stands.
Garrett?
Well, I would agree with Edgar in some of the points he's made. But look, there is a sustainability issue here at the minute, and that the farmer, the beef farmer, is not in receipt of a fair price. But I would see that as changing going forward, because very recently we've seen Chinese delegates arrive in this country to inspect our meat plants. So,
and a lot of them can't get in.
Well, no, I wouldn't agree with that. No, they did get in because, you know, I spoke with Minister Creed on this issue myself, and we do agree, like, that they did get in most places. Not all, but most. But look, the thing is, like, we have to create more markets. We have to create branding for our beef, right? At the minute, the farmer doesn't have control. They're answerable to meat processors and retailers.
But at the moment, Dermot, you're competing on an EU-wide market basis. If it's the reality that it is not financially viable for a great many beef farmers in Ireland, then that's it. It's up. We encountered this with, for example, the clothing and textiles industry. We encountered with lots of other businesses and industries where it no longer becomes viable, and so be it. That's the international market we're in.
Look, Richard, it's as simple as this. We're entering the UK market. 50% of our beef goes there. We're creating more markets, and we have to create more markets. We have a premium product. We have grass-fed beef, which is it
a premium product, Edgar? Is a lot of the product that we're selling to Europe of the highest premium standard?
So there's no doubt that some of Irish beef is really amongst the best there is. But if you look at recent trends, the average quality in terms of the grading system has actually declined, and that's partly due to the fact that we've been expanding the dairy herd and the cattle that come from there are not quite as good as the beef cattle that a lot of beef sort of specialized beef producers are producing, and that makes it harder for us to sell into these markets and achieve these premia. The best beef that we produce certainly commands a premium, say, in the French market, but we don't produce enough of it.
Is there a case, Edgar, for saying that because of the lack of viability in sections of the industry, that if we actually produced less of a higher quality and sold it for more, you would have fewer beef farmers, but those who are in it would be in a position to make an economically viable, sustainable business for themselves.
And that's probably the trend that we're going to see.
Darren, what do you think of that?
Well, just getting back to Edgar's point there about the dairy cross cattle, like, we have a quality pricing system in this country with certain market specifications which need to be reviewed, okay? So we have a 30-month upper age limit, which is a QPS requirement, okay? The factories and the retailers, And Borbia have also mentioned that this is a requirement. So the beef plan movement have been negotiating over the past 2 or 3 weeks to try and get this reviewed, okay? Because, like most retailers, if the truth be known, they don't require a 30-month upper age limit. So if we can get this removed, like grass-fed cattle, Richard, this is what Ireland can do best. We have the right climate for producing grass. We can do this if the upper age limit is expanded. So,
but ultimately, are you not shooting yourselves in the foot with these protests? Because you're an industry that is under pressure. There are those within it for whom it is viable, and there are good years and bad years. It is a changing market out there. It's a very big market. And what has happened now with Brexit coming, and there could be further challenges, this is actually going to just push things over the edge for yourselves.
Yeah, look, Richard, we've heard all those mentioned before, Brexit, Mercosur, and all these market pressure. That's all an excuse, okay? Beef farmers are not in receipt of a fair price because the processors and the retailers are not distributing a fairer price back along to the primary producer. This is the key issue.
But if
here.
You all get together and discuss price, is that not anti-competitive? That's not good for
the
consumer, is it?
We now have the vehicle to discuss price. We have within our grasp the producer organisation. We can use that to discuss price with the meat processors.
So, Edgar, like, should farmers set up their own processing? Is that the way to go? Pool together?
That's something that farmers have traditionally done very well. The cooperative movement was exactly that. You couldn't have every farm produce its own butter, so they clubbed together. The dairies were developed, and in a way, that's something that perhaps should be considered.
But that was when there were greater protections and it was a smaller market. This is a big international single market now, the EU.
Still, if farmers believe that factories and retailers are making a lot of profit and it's not passed through, then maybe they should try and capture some of that profit by setting up their own operation.
Dermot, in a word, would you rule that out for producers like yourself in the future?
No, I would not. And we certainly have it. We envisage that going forward that farmers will be able to get control back. Okay, and the beef plan movement, our vision is to create farmer co-ops, and to get farmers to buy into this is going to be a challenge, because they've been subjected to so much distress over the last 20 years with regard to control by factories and so on and so forth. But going forward, yes, we want to set up co-ops in this country.
You want to go?
Absolutely.
Dermot O'Brien and Edgar Morgan Roth, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. We'll take a break.